Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon. Good morning and welcome back to the Business Success Network podcast. We're on part three of our mini series special with Rachel Bennett from HR Fusion. And I very nearly got that wrong a minute ago. We were laughing backstage because I was going Fusion HR, HR Fusion. You know when you just have a bit of a brain fart? Well, that was me today. So welcome back, Rachel. You are here for the third time. I am so excited to have you back.
Thank you very much for having me. And as per the other two, we did have IT issues again this morning. I think I might have sorted it now. So, you know, on the third podcast.
it's brilliant. And I'm glad we've powered through. We've got through the IT issues. And it just goes to show, doesn't it? To be a business owner, everyone has issues, hiccups, but we're here. We're good. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, 90% is done is better than not doing it at all. So we are here. And you are somebody who quite openly says to podcasts or, you know, being on the cover of a magazine, and I keep throwing these things at you and you are just, you're grabbing the opportunities. So thank you for being here. In the first part then, we talked about you and your journey through HR and all the way up to, you know, director level and then starting your own business. And, you know, that was such a brilliant in-depth episode. In episode two, we looked at this shadow culture that you've come up with. And we looked at what is a shadow culture, because, you know, you hear quite a lot about company culture, but this shadow culture might be a new term to some people. So we talked about that. Now, this episode, this is where we're getting into the nitty gritty, I think, isn't it? We're going to talk about the second half of your book, which is all about that 6-step model for cultural change. So this is where the team leaders listening, the HR directors, people like that, they're going to kind of sit up and say, OK, what is this model? What is this? How am I going to get cultural change into my workplace? And you're here, you're going to tell us a bit about how that model came about, because obviously we could give them the model, but we want them to go out and buy the book, because that's what's going to give them all the juicy details, the how-tos and all that kind of thing. So, Rachel, just let's start with then. How did you come up with this 6-step model?
Yeah. Okay. So as I've alluded to in previous episodes, I've been in HR for quite a little time, 20 odd years plus. And over the period of time, I've kind of led and been part of loads of different change programs. Some have been brilliant, and some we've actually been, me and my team have been awarded, have been nominated for awards and shortlisted, etc. So we've had some really fantastic kind of results from some of them, but some of them never really got off the ground. Some of them got off the ground, but then kind of paused part way, or we ran out of money, or it took too much time. Or so there was always things that kind of crept in. And so I'm a real note taker. So I've always taken notes on lessons learned and kind of looked and thought, okay, that didn't go quite so well. I don't know why, but I'm going to write it down because at some point I'm going to find out. I'm also a big book reader, and I have got notepads upon notepads of loads of different HR books, cultural books, project books, you name it, books. And I've got drawings, they're not very good, but I've got drawings in my real books of different models that I've seen across the years. And then I've kind of made my own notes and kind of thought, oh, okay, I like that model for this particular bit, but actually the rest of the model doesn't fit for me, etc. And then quite a few years ago, I was very privileged, actually, was able to do a qualification in the psychology of organizational development. So that is very much around learning how an organization thinks, how it feels, how it acts. So almost trying to pretend it's a person, as it were, and then kind of really start understanding that, which ultimately for me is that cultural element and that organizational development and design. And through that particular course, had an amazing teacher who, interestingly, I'm not in contact anymore. And I really wish I could be, because I'd really like to thank them, because sometimes you just meet people along the way in your journey, don't you? And you're just like, oh, they're real nuggets of knowledge. And she taught us as a group a model that I think she'd created. And that model, I then took back into my workplace and started playing with it with a few of my HR leaders. And we started playing with that into different projects and seeing how it would work. And so all of these things happened, all of the lessons learned. So I've kind of got this model, then I've got all my reading of other people's models, then I've got all my experience, successes and failures, etc. And then I left work, handed my notice in, and decided to set up HR Fusion. Had a real kind of period of really trying to work out what my niche was going to be. And clearly it was always going to be culture. But in order to really understand my niche, I kind of felt like I needed to put together all those different elements of the learning. So that kind of model learning, my notes, my experiences, et cetera, and put it together. And that's where the model came from, because I then was thinking, so for example, the model very much starts around kind of getting commitment from the right people. So, you know, one of the things I've seen happen a lot is a project is needed, but not everybody that should be bought in is bought in. Sometimes it's because, you know, we know that Mr. or Mrs. X or Y is not going to buy into it. Therefore, we kind of leave them out of it because we know they're going to be a problem. But actually, that's the wrong thing to do. You need to buy them in at the beginning. So I learned that from a course I was on where we talked about contracting, it was called. And so there's elements of lots of different courses and there's lots of different things. And like I say, I am a big note taker. So I've kind of put
I'm really pleased you said that, because my office is full of notebooks.
Yes.
Scribbled in, written in. And I do sit there sometimes and think, I really should type these up and have like one big Bible, yeah, if you
absolutely,
like.
Absolutely. But and it's worth doing. Written.
There is something about that written. It just goes in better. Yeah. My husband does draw the line at the bookshelf where there's empty notebooks because they're too nice to write in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I think there's something, for me, there's something quite therapeutic about, I think it's how I learn. I learn, I can read, but I think because I've always, I wouldn't say struggled as an adult now, but as a child, I always struggled. So I think to read and to write at the same time kind of gives me a double whammy, because I can see it as I'm writing it. So I'm reading it and I'm writing it. And I sat last summer after I'd finished work, I sat in the garden with, I'm a fond lover of the A5, the big notepads. So I sat in the garden with a huge notepad just drawing, and that's how, so I drew everything out into different areas, and then I categorized the areas and kind of said, oh, all those words and all those drawings, actually they mean this and they mean this. And that's kind of how the model kind of came out of my head. So yeah, I would never have been able to create the model without some fantastic books that I've read, you know, some amazing teachers, some great colleagues that I've worked with that have helped me play with the model over the years, etc. But ultimately I did sit for quite a few days playing and drawing and, you know, sticky notes galore, etc. And writing the book was brilliant because it helped me go into the detail of every single element on the model, which was really good.
And I love the idea of this book. I love the fact that it's almost in, like you say, two parts, and you've got all your knowledge, but then as you said, it's drawn that whole process of writing the book has then given you this second half of the book, which is the model that people can follow, they can, you know, use. And I love the fact, I love that you've took other, you know, other books, other inspiration, other models, because everybody has a different way of working. And you've looked at it and gone, oh, I like that, I like that, that doesn't sit right. Actually, I think I could improve that, because that's what business, isn't it? It's an improvement of all these different things and your own take on stuff. So I love it. And I love the fact that you just talked about, you know, step one being the getting people in, because I think there'll be loads of listeners listening thinking, oh yeah, we've done that. We know that Joe Bloggs was never going to agree to this. Yeah. And actually we see it quite a lot with, you know, organizations, maybe councils, things like that, where they know there is going to be some backlash or just some, just a bit of kind of, oh no, it doesn't sit right. Whereas actually those conversations are going to happen at some point.
Absolutely. And that's why I've kind of, you know, started that model, you know, and there's a little story in the book around, I went on a management leadership training course, which was brilliant. And there's part of the learning of that is sort of, you know, it's all sewn in all of this in some way, shape or form. But we, on one particular day, we all sat down in a circle, which is always really uncomfortable because you're kind of open to the world, aren't you? And the person taking the course said to us, right, do you all understand what the word confidentiality means? And we're like, yeah, of course we do. Yeah, we know what we're doing. We can go with this. So she said, okay, agree on what it means. I kid you not, it took half a day. And at that point, the lady facilitating it was, yeah, okay, let's just stop now. The point's been made. And the point was, every single person in that room had a slightly different take on what the word confidentiality meant. For me, I'm a HR person, so I was very clear on it. But then when you speak to somebody else, oh, okay. So when is confidentiality? If somebody's given you something that means that somebody else's life is at risk, for example, is that word, you know, is that still a confidential conversation? And so it's things like that has helped me form a lot of the book, because a lot of the model, should I say, because it is those sort of, you know, right at the beginning of a project, you know, you can be commissioned to do a certain project, but you need to go back and confirm what people mean by that. So, you know, if you are asked to do, you know, make an organization high performing, you know, just like that, what does high performing mean to that organization? Because actually your interpretation of it might be slightly different. So in the model, there's parts through the model which is very much around, you know, really get into the nitty gritty of this kind of, what is it you want me to do? How do we work that out? And who needs to be involved? Who needs to be engaged? Are you committed from day one? Yes or no? And working all of that out, because I have seen it so many times where, you know, I love the term mood hoovers.
Yes, I've used that a lot. Yeah.
So you could have a group of six people on a project, but if you've got a mood hoover in the room, you really need to be identifying who that person is and then understanding what it is that they're not happy about, because there's usually something simple in there. And so the model is very much around that collaborative commitment and working together, etc. Yeah.
Amazing. So, you know, we've talked about how leaders, they will want to read your book. They will want, you know, they come across your model. They want to start implementing this cultural change within their workplace. What message or what guidance would you give them to make those positive changes within their organisations?
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of it is starting where I've just started. So it's very much about, you know, really clarifying what it is that's wanted. I have seen so many times where people say, for example, I don't know, let's pick on one, we've got a sickness issue. So there's an organizational issue and the sickness levels are too high. So we're going to, I don't know, decrease the sickness allowance for all staff. Well, my part there is, and actually, no, stop, let's do a root cause analysis, let's look at where the sickness issues are, what is, because often by going into it, and this is also in the model, but going into that root cause of what the issue is, and then feeding back to those people that you've kind of had that conversation with and confirmed this is what the project is, you can then go away and say, I know you've just told me that the problem is a global sickness problem and that you want the solution to be X, but actually we've now gone away. We've used the model and the tools within the model. We've now got the real reason. And actually, it's a such and such a department, and it's because they've got a project on which such and such, or whatever the reason is. But there's a reason over there that's actually skewing the sickness figures for the whole company rather than just for that. So it's really about that kind of following that model all the way through. So making sure that you've got that clear message at the beginning of what it is they want you to try, get them on board, get their buy-in, get their commitment, then go away. Do your research, do the root cause analysis, really investigate what they think the problem is, because that's their hypotheses. So take their hypotheses, have a look at it, do the root cause, and then go back again. And that again, in that model, is that around that kind of feedback loop and making sure that, you know, they're saying this one thing, you're now investigated, to go back to them, have another conversation and say, this is what we're finding. So there's a lot of that there.
And I'm guessing, you know, if you're at the top of a company, you're just getting very much the facts and figures. This is the sick problem. It's this percentage. We need to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And like you say, there will be, you know, global things that they hear about. But I'm guessing by using your model, as you've just said, and, you know, in that example, oh, we found that it's one department and actually it's because of this.
Yeah.
Then we'll allow that organization to deal with that much quicker. And much more at an individual or department level,
rather than,
like you said, cutting benefits for the whole company
that
wasn't needed and could create some animosity at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I probably should say is the model I've created, I would imagine most people that are reading it, the audience that I'm aiming at, which is leaders, HR professionals, will know everything in this book. I'm pretty sure at some point they've come across it. But what I've tried to do is put it all together so that it all flows and it makes sense and it's in a logical order. And, you know, I have read and gone through lots of different models. Some fit, some don't. What I've tried to do is make this model that is really practical, that kind of helps us or the reader kind of go from step one all the way through to step six in a logical fashion that works in the day job. And there will obviously be stuff in there, I hope, that people are going to learn, but the actual way through it, that the professionals that are going to be reading it will know some of this stuff, and they will, even if they don't know the detail, they're going to know, oh yeah, I know what a root cause analysis is.
I think that's
to do it, you know, and that's what the book will do, is guide them into the detail.
That's a really good book though, you know, and it's a really good training and it's a really good event, anything like that, you know, those things where people go to learn. Actually, if you're reading something and you've already heard bits or from another HR professional or from, you know, another expert in that field, actually it, for me, it's like a safety net. You kind of know, well, actually, if more than one person is doing this, is talking about it, I've heard about that, but Rachel's, you know, expanding my knowledge on that.
Yeah.
That is exactly what a book should be, definitely.
Yeah. And that's really important to me. And I know that the person who was my manager a long time ago, and he's written the foreword for me, that's why he wanted to write the foreword, because he said to me, it's a book in plain English and it's a book that's been written through experience. I haven't just got the models and then put something together. I have gone through the pain myself. So I have gone through those meetings where I've set up a project and then haven't talked to somebody because they're a bit scary or they're not going to be on board. And then that's derailed my project later on. So I've been there and done it. So the model itself is an amalgamation of all of these things. But what my hope is that a HR professional or a leader will look at this and feel comfortable. I don't want them to feel like, oh gosh, I don't know what she's going on about, and now I need to go and get another book to research what this word meant, etc. I've written it in a way that there will be a lot of familiarity in some of the words and some of the things that I'm saying, but it's put together, it creates a really good kind of blueprint for people to be able to follow, to get that cultural change thereafter.
And we've touched on your experiences in the last couple of episodes. We've touched on the fact that HR can be very reactive, you know, whether you are a HR consultant going into businesses or whether you are a HR, you know, employed member of the team.
Yeah.
Both can be very reactive. What, you know, what the book should help, will help with, is being a bit more proactive and having these things in place identified so that,
yeah,
so that HR isn't as stressful. You know, we've kind of touched on it a bit that HR is, or can be, a very stressful industry, not just for the HR person, but for the people involved, for the team, for the leaders. It can be very stressful, you know, and we've talked about people leaving HR and, you know, setting up businesses or changing industries. And actually this book kind of puts all that together, and it's almost like an arm around their shoulder and says, look, this is a shadow culture. And actually most organizations have them. You know, I, as a non-HR person, we've had conversations and I've gone, oh, I can see that in this organization or in that organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think for a HR person to say, no, we've not got any shadow cultures, I think that might be a bit naive. There possibly might be some. Yeah. And I'm hoping that everybody grabs this book and thinks, let's just see what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you are that person, so you're, you know, this HR leader, or you are a, you know, a director, or you're the CEO of a company, or you run a small business with a small team of people, and you're thinking, I want to be the best leader I can be.
Yeah.
What are the critical considerations then for them to keep in their mind?
There's loads. I think the first thing I'd say is probably buy the book. Because I think the critical considerations for me is very much about people. And for me, you know, what I'm trying to do here is look at that cultural element. So it is, this model has obviously been designed to try and eliminate the shadow culture, but it can also be used, you know, for you, if you've even got a high performing organization and you want to put a change program in, you can use the use it for that as well. So I think planning people, you know, it, the model itself, without going into the physical model, it's harder to explain, but the 6-stage model will take you all the way through that, kind of making sure that you're building the relationships, making sure that you've got the commitment, making sure that you've got that feedback loop, making sure that you know what the problem is that you're trying to solve, because quite often we go to the end and we come up with the kind of the interventions before we know what the problem is. So it's kind of following that through and saying, okay, let's do that root cause, let's find out what the intervention is, and then analyzing that data, taking it way through. The big thing for me is the feedback. So we talk about communication, that's massive, the relationship's massive, feedback is huge, because a lot of the time, a lot of projects, change projects, don't go so well because we send out questionnaires on things like best companies, for example. Everybody fills them in, or lots of people fill them in, and then we don't feedback. Particularly, we don't feedback the not so great results. We maybe feedback the brilliant results because that's brilliant, but actually people are not stupid.
Well, you can learn so much from feedback, and actually even the negative feedback is a chance to change.
And people are not stupid. So if they know that, you know, massive amount of people have put feedback in of X, Y, and Z, yet the feedback they're getting is all positive, they're going to go, okay, now I don't trust the organization. So then there's a trust issue in that culture and different things. So it is our honest feedback. And then right towards the end of that model, which is also critical. So I would say all 6 steps are critical. The last one is about celebrating success. And I think that one is so, so, so often missed. And it's sometimes because we don't know how to celebrate success. Sometimes it's we want to do this massive big thing and then there's no budget for it, or we haven't got the time for it. But, you know, sometimes it is just kind of, I don't know, saying thank you and having a follow-up meeting when the project's finished, maybe a month after the project's finished, have a follow-up meeting and, you know, and do something there, or even get the CEO to come in and, you know, say thank you. And so it doesn't have to be a great big grand thing, but quite often I've seen it and I've done it myself where we then straight onto the next project and we haven't got time to finish this one. So there's loads of critical factors in it. I will also say as well, a little bit of a cheeky plug, I suppose, but the model itself is now being created into a training program as well, which will come out probably February time next year. So people, you know, can either buy the book or they can give me a call and we can do one-to-one mentoring and we can go through all this together and tailor that. Or they can look for the program, which will be a 6-stage program, like I say, which will come out next year. So there's lots of ways that we can move this. And I've tried to do it where, you know, the book is the cheapest way of doing it for somebody. But if they like it and they want to improve, then there are some other ways of doing that as well.
That's brilliant. That's amazing. And that was going to be the next thing I was going to ask you. What comes after the book?
Yeah.
Because often I speak to people and they say, right, I've written one book, I'm never writing another. And then another book is kind of in the pipeline. But yeah, watching you through this process, and it's been fascinating to see, because, you know, we started talking, well, we've known each other for years, but we started talking when you were writing the book. You've gone off to the retreat, you've come back, you surprised me in the second episode with the book.
That was absolutely brilliant.
I love that. And as we've talked, it's just been such a natural step. Oh, look, there it is again.
I take it with me everywhere I go now.
Good, absolutely. You should be having photos with it everywhere. But it's been a natural step. You know, I speak to some business owners and they'll say, right, I'm writing a book and then I'm going to set up my funnel page and I'm going to have my free download and then it's going to be a course. And they've kind of got the steps and it feels a little bit clunky because it's almost like that's what they feel they should be doing. Whereas with you, it's been completely natural. Mm. And, you know, you said, oh, yeah, I knew I was going to do a course, but I thought that was going to be kind of next year, but actually it's just happened and flowed and it's been incredible. And you know you've got great content to share when it happens like that.
And I think, you know, it's an interesting one, and if you go back to the first one episode we did, you'll know a bit more about me. But bringing that to this one, when I was writing the book, because I had that kind of anxiety of, is this good enough? Can I do this? You know, all of the things. I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure there's lots of people. And in order to help me with that, what I did, which was a bit strange, but actually worked out brilliant, so I'd advise any author to do this, is I wrote a training manual at the same time as writing the book. Because I, on the 6-stage model, this is because it was better, like I say, with all the drawing and putting all the visuals together and stuff, I was then able to kind of say, okay, so this is what I'm talking about here. How would I teach that? Or how, you know, and so in order to, so I would then create the training manual and then go back into the book. And so I flipped between the two. So when I got my first draft of the book, I also had a first draft of a training manual. And that was partly on purpose, but it was predominantly because I was so passionate about making sure that the reader gets the full experience and they get the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth type thing through my book. And in order to do that, I had to challenge myself that I knew what I was talking about. So that is why my training program is coming quite quickly after the book, because it's already there. And I've got a fantastic company that's helping create that program as well. So anybody that's writing a book, if there is a methodology in it, write your training manual at the same time, because it will save you time and it helps embed it all as well.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it. When we started talking about this whole shadow culture, and I was like, oh, come and be one of the Business Success Network experts, you know, come and be our culture expert. Because I'm, you know, when you build communities, when you build an organization, when you work with people, when you lead people, you have to be a people person. And I love it. The best part of my job is this stuff. It's the talking, it's the getting to know people. It's, you know, I always say all the time, I built my business with a cup of coffee, because I'd be like, yeah, let's meet for a coffee. Let's have go to a networking event. Have you got 5 minutes after for a coffee? Even though we've spent 2 hours having coffee and chatting. And it's just a really lovely way of doing business. However, if somebody said to me, or if I felt, and there have been times where I've been organizations where, you know, you feel there is a shadow, or there is something that you just can't put your finger on, or like you said, you want to feel like you are the best leader in the world, but we've all got different things that we might pick up on, or that don't, you know, that you think are going to work and they don't.
Yeah.
And so this book for me, it really is kind of an eye-opening beginning into that journey of, okay, let's have a look at what this company culture actually means.
Absolutely.
To that leader, but also to the team, because I bet they have very different views.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the book, we talk about different cultures, and, you know, you can then take the cultures down into like almost nano cultures, because you can have different teams in different geographical locations, and they've all got different cultures, and then those cultures come together. What cultures does that create, etc.? And so what I've tried to do is, the first half of the book is very much about, for me, there is a shadow, there is this kind of, you know, this is what people are saying, but this is what people are doing, and what's that bit in the middle? To me, that's now called a shadow. And all that is done is just help me and people put that in your mind, so that you've almost got a name for it. Because when we can name something, sometimes it becomes a bit more real, doesn't it? So whereas before I was like, well, there's something there, I don't know how to explain it. You just feel it, you just know, you feel uncomfortable, or you feel happy, or, you know. And I think I describe it in the book as around, you know, it's like buying a house. You know, when you go through the front door, there's a difference. You get a feeling. You're either in your home, your future home, and you're like, oh yeah, this feels right, or you're like, no, it's lovely, but it's just a house. Yeah. And that is how I would explain this kind of this bit in the middle. And I think when it's that, when you feel it doesn't feel right, that's your shadow. So what I'm trying to do is just name it with a name, because then once it's got a name, you can then start addressing it and kind of go, okay, is that a really big issue, or is it just a smaller issue? And then the model either helps you diagnose the shadow, so you can use it to kind of go, okay, we think we've got a shadow issue. Well, then use the model to help you diagnose the shadow, and then it will help you with the interventions of how you get rid of the shadow. Or you can turn around and say, actually, we've not really got a major issue with the shadow, but we want to be more of a well-being organization rather than, I don't know, a digital organization, or whatever the case may be. So then you can use the model to say, okay, we want to be more digital, we want to be more well-being. That's when you then go to your leadership and sit with them and say, so what does well-being mean to us? What is it that we're trying to achieve? And have those conversations. Then go away, do all your analysis, do your root cause on it, work out where the problems are, if there are any problems, then go back to the group of people. And that's where the process starts. And then you kind of follow that process through to the end, where you get some great results, hopefully, and definitely celebrate the success.
I love that you say about celebrated success. Mm-hmm. Because that is, like you said, it's the one piece of the puzzle that people do not focus on. You know, mm-hmm. we are human. We yeah. tend to focus on what we didn't achieve rather than what we did achieve. Yeah. You know, and like you said, in busy organizations, they whiz through. It's like, tick, done, what's next? Especially yeah. for different departments and things.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm really chuffed that you've got that.
Yeah, it's definitely there. And, you know, I have, there's some case studies in the book, which they're my interpretation of businesses. So I want to be very clear on that. And I have put that in the book because I'm only one person. So I have gone and done all my research on places like John Lewis, for example, and then use John Lewis as a case study for different types of cultures. So there are some fantastic organizations out there that are doing this brilliantly. So let's pinch some of the ideas they're doing, and, you know, some of the, and you know, a lot of the ones that are successful are the ones that are celebrating the successes. And for me, it is about putting people first. And if we put our people first, then actually they're happier, they're motivated, they're engaged, etc. And actually the businesses will start to thrive. That's my personal opinion, but I am a HR and OD.
I agree totally. You know, I know I perform better in their weeks. Like you said, it doesn't have to be a big party celebration meal out, whatever it is. It can sometimes just be somebody in the team or in the management team recognizing a job well done and saying thanks for today. It can be that simple. Or we know you've had a real tough one today. You know, it's not gone unnoticed.
Absolutely.
Just knowing that they're watching and that they're seeing what you're experiencing can be really, it can just change your whole being, like you say.
Absolutely. And that's why I give that caveat that a lot of HR and leaders that are watching this or read the book or whichever source they find the model through, this is why I say they know this stuff. You know, they're probably doing a lot of this. I'm just putting it as a reminder, because I have seen it, myself included, where we've perhaps forgotten and jumped onto the next thing. So that's why that's an example of, you know, some of these people are already doing this and doing a great job, but let's do more of it. Let's do more.
We said we were going to talk for around 30 minutes. We are on the 35 minute mark. So I am just going to ask you one final question. I tend to ask it everybody, and I am springing this on you, so I apologize, but I'd love a top tip from you. So it could be anything business related. I'm guessing it's going to be cultural, shadow, HR related, yeah. But it doesn't have to be. But what would your audience listening now, what would your top business tip be?
Oh, top business tip. Gosh, that's a difficult one because I've got so many. My brain is like, oh, I'll do this. And I think if I'd had time to reflect, I'd probably come up with something different. But off the top of my head, my top business tip has got to be that connection. It's got to be, you know, talk about what the issue is. Don't just merrily go, oh, this is what we think the issue is, and then let's solve it. You know, talk about it and do that root cause, and don't go off a tangent, because I see it so many times. And like I say, I'm not judging people. I've done it myself, which is why I'm writing about it. But the top tip has got to be, you know, really understand what the problem is you're trying to solve before you start trying to solve it. There you go. Off the top of my head, that one was.
That's why I throw it on you, because I knew otherwise you'd have prepped and planned and everything.
Yeah.
Off the top of the thing, just go for it. Right, Rachel, we've talked about the book. We've talked about the online platform coming soon. There's so much going on. Where can people find you?
Okay, so I'm on LinkedIn under Rachel Bennett. HR Fusion Limited is also on LinkedIn. And my email address and my web address is obviously www.hr-fusion.com. And you'll find my details on there as well.
And I'm guessing they'll be able to find all the details of the up and coming book ready for launch.
Indeed. Well, hopefully, I've just been told yesterday, it looks like it's going to launch on the 30th of November. So hopefully, yeah, it's a watch this space. So it's really exciting and really scary at the same time, because I think when you've put your heart and soul into something, I really want people to get the value out of it as to why I've created it. But I will leave it on the note that my granddaughter came over the other day and she said to me, Grandma, my dad says you've written a book. And I said, yes. She said, can I see it? And then she's only six. And so she got the book. She sat on my lap. I kid you not, she read half a page, which was phenomenal for me. I was kind of like, oh my life, definitely not my genes. She read half a page. She closed it. She looked at me and smiled. And she went, I think I'm going to write a book, Grandma. And I was just like, do you know what? If nothing else, my job is done. I'm inspired. My granddaughter to be an author, if that's what she wants to be. So I just thought these are the wins you've got to pick up and the celebrations along the way. So yeah, she melted my little heart. She did.
Well, I can't wait to see a photo of you and your granddaughter reading that book together.
Absolutely.
It's just gorgeous. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for being our first ever guest that has come along and done a three-part all. You know, we've done mini series before, but we've never had it focused on one person and one business or book. So this is how excited I was about it. So thank you very much.
You're
for
very welcome.
Contributing to the podcast, for sharing your wisdom with us, and for being one of our experts. So
thank you so much for having me. It's actually not been as painful as I thought it was going to be. So thank you.
There you go, folks. You heard it here first. I am not actually that painful to my guests. We are so excited to bring this podcast to you. If you are not yet in our Facebook community, please head over to the Business Success Network UK. You can find myself over there, you can find Rachel over there, and you can find a lot of other small businesses that want to champion and cheerlead you, offer you top tips, and basically just do business with each other. That's what we're all about. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you all very soon. So you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business. Oh,